Let us pray. Gentle God, Jesus went into the wilderness to face his shadow side. Accompany us into the darkness of our own souls. Come and heal us, shed some light, and lead us to wholeness of life. Amen. A reading from Genesis. Then God said to Noah and to his children with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. The word of life. Please stand for the Psalter, Psalm 25, page 756 in the blue hymnal. To you, Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right, and teaches them in their way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the Lord's covenant and testimonies. From the New Testament, a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. The law of God guides me in my relationship with God, but there's a shadow side of me that has secret power over me. I am its slave. I don't understand myself. I don't do what I mean to do. I do the thing I hate. It doesn't matter how much I believe in God's law. I still do the wrong thing. In fact, it's no longer I that do it. It's my selfish fear, my sin. There is nothing life-giving in selfish anxiety. I can intend what is right, but I can't actually do it. I don't do the good I intend. Instead, I do the evil I wanted to avoid. I am powerless over my sin. It controls me. It's a basic law of nature. Though I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. I delight in the will of God in my soul, but in my flesh, another power, the power of my selfish fear, is at war with the will of my soul. I think I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. How wretched I am! Who will rescue me from this death sentence? Thanks be to God, it is Jesus Christ, our Savior. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, my beloved. I am so delighted with you." And immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. And when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, in those days he came into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "Now is the time. The realm of God is here. Repent and believe in the good news." The gospel of the beloved Jesus Christ. The good news is that you are created as an image of God's love. That's what it means to be created in the image of God. You are an image of God's perfect love. How are you doing with that? Are you living that out 100%? That's the bad news. We messed that up. You know, kind of like Paul is saying in his letter to the Romans, we know the right thing to do, and then something gets into us and we get off track. I'm sure you've said that about yourself at some time in your life. I don't know what got into me. What was I thinking? And Paul acknowledges that this thing that gets into him, that he doesn't know what he's thinking, is almost like a foreign power. It's like this other thing is making the choices instead of Paul himself. Well, that thing that gets into us, that's Satan. Satan isn't this guy going around the world with a pitchfork poking us, trying to trick us into doing bad things. Turns out we can do bad things on our own without any help. Satan is whatever it is that trips us up. In the Bible, the word Satan isn't a name, it's a descriptor. It means someone who is an adversary or an accuser. So King David is called Satan because he's hanging out with the Philistines. Jesus calls Peter Satan because Peter's in his way, he's tripping him up. Satan isn't some guy out there like Santa Claus going around the world delivering presents. Satan isn't some guy who's going around the world playing tricks. Satan is whatever in you trips you up. So Jesus went into the wilderness to wrestle with his Satan. I have my Satan. You have your Satan. And Paul understands the depth of those temptations that Jesus is wrestling with in the desert. These days, when we talk about temptation, as far as I can tell, we've reduced temptation to a sweet tooth. Where do you hear the word tempting used in our culture other than in association with a really good dessert, right? A tempting chocolate cake. So we get the idea that temptation has something to do with pleasure, maybe something to do with our bodies. None of that is true. A temptation is whatever it is that you want that's different from what God wants. Whatever it is that gets in the way of you being God's beloved and living out that love. It doesn't mean you're an evil person. In fact, it sort of means the opposite. That story of Jesus that Mark tells, it's in these three little scenes, very compact. Each scene is one or two sentences. Scene one, Jesus is baptized and God says, "You're my beloved. I love you. You're good." Scene two, Jesus wrestles with his temptations in the wilderness. Scene three, Jesus comes into Galilee preaching the good news. You notice that that story at the beginning in the first scene, at the end in the third scene, is rooted in goodness. And in the middle, Jesus has to wrestle with his temptations to make sure that he can stay connected with that story of goodness and not get out of whack. You watch these Olympic figure skaters, and they dance around and they zoom around and they twiddle and they twirl, and then they start going backwards and sort of holding there for a second. You know what's coming next, don't you? They're getting their balance and their preparation and their depth. They're going to bend their knees just right because they're going to go into this amazing spin, this jump. And they know that if you jump off balance, you're going to fly off balance and you're going to land off balance. You can't just change directions in midair. Our temptation is what gets us off balance from being able to do what we can actually do. They've done it. And the Satan is that thing in your voice that says, "Oh, wait, I wonder what time it is." And then you're not thinking about what's coming next. Or that voice that says, "I don't think I can do this. I'm not good enough." Whatever that voice is that throws you off, that keeps you from being able to do what you're created to do. Not because you're evil, but because you're good. So wrestling with our temptations is a matter of confronting those things that throw us off. And it's hard because, like Paul says, I don't know what gets into me. I don't understand myself. The thing is, those temptations, they're our shadow side. They're these things that are unseen in us, the stuff that we haven't noticed. They're unconscious. I love that illustration that I put on the bulletin. It's from the Augsburg Study Bible of Jesus and Satan in the desert. And it's even more striking in color, because what you notice is that in that picture, Satan is in black and white. Satan is the black and white, shadowy, unseen, sneaking around behind him part of Jesus. It's himself. The fun thing that is that in the Augsburg Bible, when you get to the end of the story, Jesus and Satan are sitting back to back. They're like mirror images of each other. Satan looking disappointed, and Jesus with this tiny little smile on his face, like, this is good. Your Satan is the shadow part of yourself that's unconscious. All of these voices, these wounds and fears and desires and habits and attachments that throw you off, that make you think you can't do that jump, that make you think you're not good enough, or that make you think you have to do this thing, instead of what God is doing in you. Like that voice of the serpent in the garden who says, I know God said this, but do it my way. So what we wrestle with in the season of Lent, we have 40 days to go with Jesus in his 40 days in the wilderness to face our temptations, to wrestle with our own Satan, to get more mindful of what are those things that I want that are different from what God wants. That's really hard to figure out, partly because it is unconscious and partly because sometimes they're the same thing. Sometimes chocolate cake isn't a bad temptation. Sometimes it's exactly what God wants for you because it's your birthday and you should have a slice. So how do we tell the difference between what I want that's off track and what I want that's in harmony with what God wants? Well, that's what prayer is for. During these weeks of Lent, I want to engage you intentionally in some prayer practices that help us to be faithful. And one of those is the examen. E-X-A-M-E-N. It's a Latin word that's related to the word examine. And it's historically been described as an examination of conscience. I think of it as an examination of consciousness. Because sometimes even my conscience gets it wrong. Sometimes I think I'm doing the right thing, and then later on I realize I didn't see how wrong that was. But the examination of consciousness is a way of becoming aware of stuff that I wasn't aware of. And one way to do that with the examen is simply to notice those times when it felt like I was really in the zone. I was really being faithful with God. And noticing those times, and it felt like I was really off my game. That was not right. It was developed by the desert mothers and fathers out in their early monastic communities in the 3rd and 4th century in the desert in Egypt. And they would stop once every hour and wait and pray, okay, in the last hour, when was I most faithful to God? What was that like? And what were those moments when I was not being faithful to God? What happened there? You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to notice it. Sometimes you can ask, when did I feel most in touch with God or out of touch? Sometimes maybe the question is, when did I feel most alive or not so alive? Sometimes, in fact, the question is simply, what are those moments for which I'm most grateful? What are those moments for which I'm not so grateful? We don't have to understand them. We just have to allow them to enter our consciousness so that the more we do, the more we become aware of those shadows that are in us. And it won't happen the first time you do it. It's like exercise. That's why there are 40 days. It takes us 40 days to get our balance, and then we're ready to leap into Easter and live as new people for the rest of our lives. So I'm going to invite you to engage in this practice of examen. You'll notice that examen is not about how bad we are. It's about how good God is. And we notice those ways in which we've been in touch with God's goodness and we give thanks. And we notice those ways that we've been out of harmony with God's goodness. And we just lift that up to God and allow that goodness to change us. Because what happens when we open ourselves up like that is there's something else that gets into us besides Satan. And that's God. We allow God to be making choices in us that we wouldn't quite have made without God there. And we do that all our lives. That's what Jesus had to do in his wrestling in the wilderness, and he had to do it all the way to Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, he had to do that. He had to say, okay, God, here's what I want. I want to go home. I want to live for another 40 years. I don't want to die. I don't want to do this. Let this cup pass from me. And then wrestle with it until he got the point where he could say, but not what I want, but your will be done. And match those up. In the process of the examen, we're not belaboring how bad we are. We're simply noticing the light and the dark, the ways that we're in harmony and the ways that we're out of tune, and allowing that awareness to deepen in us so that God can move in us. You'll notice that a lot of the times when we have a printed confession in the service, that's the pattern it takes. It's that examen. Not just, oh God, here's how bad I am, but being mindful of both sides of that. So today I'm going to invite you to do that. It'll take longer than we maybe normally would in a printed prayer of confession. Will you pray with me? God, we give thanks for your presence in our lives. And thinking back over the last day or so, we call to mind, in the light of your grace, those moments when we were most in harmony with your love. And we give thanks. Merciful God, trusting that you are present in each moment of our lives, we recall those moments when we were not in harmony with your love, and we offer them up to your grace. God, we give you thanks for your infinite love. And we pray that always we might live in harmony with your love, live as your beloved, receiving that love, and in everything we do and think and say, proclaiming your good news. So we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.